been that guy, too, where I moved into the place and the people before me didn't unplug any of their crap. And you get the free cable, you get the free phone.
Yeah, I learned a secret about the cable company when I canceled mine. Yeah, they don't stop it.
They just, like, let it run?
Yeah, I canceled my cable, like, 2 weeks before I moved out. Still was getting it to the day I unplugged my TV.
Good time.
Yeah.
We got, the Comcast people are in our pocket because it's like, we got, I won't mention anybody's name, but we got numerous people out there who work for Comcast. They work, and I'm not talking about they work in the office. I mean, these are the guys that come out to your place, they climb the pole, they turn the thing off, they turn the thing on. All of those guys listen to our show. So, Comcast, you ever need anything done through Comcast,
I might need something done.
This is the show that can make it happen. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Monday. Thank you for coming by. Later on, we have Peter Carlin from The Oregonian. He's going to be joining us to talk about The Sopranos, The Shield, Thief, and what The Oregonian is describing as a failure of a new sitcom, which is Teachers with Phil, which I feel bad. And I feel bad for Phil Henry that is getting such bad reviews, because I am, as you all know, I am Phil Henry's biggest fan. I love that guy. Phil Henry is hands down, one of the most talented people on the radio, but the guy just can't make a TV gig work to save his life, and I don't know why, and I don't think that's any reflection on him, because isn't this like the third thing he had the cartoon? Didn't he have some animated show he was doing?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened to that one.
He was trying to do some animated thing, and then he had that Forest Hills Estate or whatever. He was trying to get that going, and then he's got this teacher's thing, and that's not working. So we'll talk to Peter Carlin about that. We'll also do a truly horrific and fascinating top five, which is the top five songs Rick Emerson most frequently listened to and loved before he discovered the wonderful transformative powers of rock and roll and so forth. Subject line of this email is Sarah's therapist. Rick, to my already porn-filled mind, can you ask Sarah the following several questions? A, does she talk about sex with her therapist?
What kind of a question is that?
I think you know exactly what kind of a question. It's a sexy question.
Oh, boy. What's
maybe
the
it's
next
your
question?
Therapist writing in.
Perhaps.
Oh, boy.
No, it's not. I'm looking at it right now. It's And B, is her therapist hot?
She's actually, she's a mid-40s woman, like very slender.
What celebrity would you say your therapist most resembles?
What's her name? Bernadette Peters? Is that her name? That actress, you know,
I suppose.
Actress
I know who Bernadette
hair?
Peters is, but I mean, is that who you're thinking of? We're thinking of the same person?
Yeah, the actress with the curly hair.
Bernadette Peters, she's not in Oklahoma. She's in Annie Oakley. What is it? Isn't she in some musical right now?
I think so.
Last time I was in New York, it was like, and starring Bernadette Peters in... No, it's Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, I think. It's her and Tom Wopat from the Dukes of Hazzard, because they came to town.
That's an unlikely duel.
No, it was her and Tom Wopat who played Luke. Who is the blonde Duke brother?
I
know as a Gen Xer, yeah. I should know these things.
I don't remember.
Whatever. Anyway, so it was Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat, and then when they went on the road, they didn't have the money to keep the awesome star power of Tom Wopat in the production. So it became Gary Sandy from WKRP in Cincinnati. You talk about a guy who just fell off the map for like 80 years. He played...
He must be getting good residuals, though.
He played Travis... on WKRP in Cincinnati, but I don't think he gets any residuals because I can't ever find that show on the air anywhere. When is the last time you saw WKRP in Cincinnati on the air anywhere?
I don't remember. It's been quite some time.
It's not on. He also doesn't get DVD residuals because WKRP in Cincinnati is not on DVD and probably never will be. I have hyperlinked myself like 5 degrees away from the actual subject, but the difference between the old Rick Emerson and the new Rick Emerson is that I'm going to fight my way back after this. We're going to talk about WKRP in Cincinnati. We're going to pull ourselves back up the rope to Sarah's therapist.
You always found yourself way back. It just takes a while.
Yeah, I know. I guess I...
What was the original topic?
It was Sarah's therapist.
Oh, okay.
Which she then taught... Here's how my mind works, because you were talking about Bernadette Peters.
Mm-hmm.
I was then thinking about Bernadette Peters starring with Tom Wopat in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Wopat then made me think about Gary Sandy, who played Travis on WKRP, which then made me think about residuals, which leads me to this point that WKRP in Cincinnati, like some other programs, will probably never come out on DVD because they can't afford all the music licensing.
Oh.
Because it took place in a radio station.
Yeah. Mm.
And it's like Freaks and Geeks. You know, that show only ran for 1 year, but the DVD set is $100 because they had to, because those guys, to their credit, wanted all the original music. They wanted all the Joan Jett, all the Styx. They wanted all the period music. But they had to pay like, you know, up the yang for that. And so... They totally had to pass that, you know, expense on along to the consumer. If you watch WKRP in Cincinnati and some of those, you know, like if it when it was in syndication, you watch it on like on TNT or WGN. And, like, Johnny Fever would say, like, and here's AC/DC, and it was just like some generic production music. And they don't want to do that with the DVD. They want to use all the original rock music, but it's just going to cost an arm and a leg, which is why it's not out on DVD, which is why, working my way back, why Gary Sandy is on the road with Bernadette Peters doing Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. He filled in for Tom Wopat, who was part of the original cast, along with Bernadette Peters, who looks like Sarah Dillon's therapist. And as such, the question really
I'm
is...
I'm so glad that I don't care about this.
No, I'm just saying that Bernadette Peters is... She's not...
Bernadette
Peters is not hot, traditionally speaking. She's
yeah, my
cute.
Therapist is interesting looking.
She's a handsome woman. She's interesting looking.
No, she's very feminine, and she looks like Bernadette Peters, but she has like little round glasses. She looks like a therapist.
All right.
That's what she looks like.
Okay. Yeah, my therapist looked like Diane Keaton, kind of, God, what era? Like, I don't know, like maybe, not Annie Hall era Diane Keaton, but like maybe, I don't know, maybe a few years after that.
Not First Wives Club Annie
Keaton. Not that old. She was in her 40s. An attractive woman. She was a curvaceous woman. So, and she had the glasses. And shrinks are kind of hot anyway. I mean, it's, Lorraine Bracco really sets the bar pretty high in The Sopranos. She's kind of the all-time hot therapist. But, Tim, how about your therapist?
I feel really left out of this conversation. I've never had a therapist.
Oh, come on.
How does one go about getting one?
You get a job in radio, and you get fired multiple times. You have no financial stability to speak of.
I'm used to it. It's been going on for like over 30 years.
Your entire livelihood and self-esteem depends upon a three-hour block of time talking to people you can't see over a microphone at a job where you could be replaced by a VCR or an oldies format the next day.
It's happened on numerous occasions.
You've been for like 10 years and you find yourself just openly weeping into your Pop-Tarts in the morning, Patti LaBelle style.
Nope,
so.
No weeping over here.
I never had, now to be fair, I never, turned this into a whole therapy thing. All that's really missing is Woody Allen, you know, sitting in a corner talking about, like, his sex life or something. We really would have, like, his next three films. But I never, because I, like many of you, like, I had all of these horrible dysfunctional relationships when I was younger. And it was like, and I would always have these girls that, like, you know, that you really got to seek therapy because you're an a-hole, which was completely true. They were completely right about that. But I was just like this young pig-headed, you know, stupid guy, and I wouldn't do it. Or I would do it like I would go to therapy when I was younger, but I would do it and like with deliberately with my mind already made up that I was not going to say anything to ever let my shrink help me. Like I would go to meet my shrink, and you're paying like $70 an hour, right? And you know, it's like over the course of a few weeks you can buy a freaking car. And so I would go into therapy with just the worst attitude ever, which is that I am not going to say anything in any way that is constructive or lets her do her job. In fact,
are you like making things up when you go to confession to the Catholic priest?
I
told three lies.
I wouldn't make things up. But when I would go to therapy, I would just treat it like it was. I would treat it like I was just headlining at Catch a Rising Star. Like for me, it was just like another captive audience for
it's
me to entertain.
Therapy light.
And my therapist was always a woman, and I always ended up not only with a woman but with an attractive woman. And so I'm there in a room with an attractive woman who has no choice but to sit there and listen to me. And so I would totally just treat it like I was, you know, I was doing a spot on Letterman. You know what I mean?
So you're by yourself with this therapist. You're not sitting with some lady knitting.
No. It's like, and it's like whether they care or not, they totally have to sit there and pretend that they care. They have to give you all of their rapt attention.
And they have to remember names that you mentioned. Like, oh, yeah, you told me about that. They have to remember, like, they have to pinpoint little details.
They have to write it all down.
Yeah, they
write how they remember.
Yeah, they write it all down in a spiral. So so for me, it was like the best and worst possible scenario when I was, and I'm talking about when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, and I would go to see a shrink because it was always a woman, and it was always like my entire thing was just spending the entire 55 minutes trying to get her to like me.
Well, it's awesome too because you can just sit there for an hour, you know, talking about yourself with someone who doesn't know you, doesn't know the bad things about you.
No, it just lets you be completely self-indulgent.
You're so self-indulgent.
And you can completely, and the great thing about being a shrink, or about going to see a shrink is, like, especially for me again when I was younger, is that you can completely paint this fantastic picture of yourself and paint everyone else in your life as being responsible.
Totally.
Because they don't know. They're not talking to whatever, you know, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your whoever. So you can completely paint yourself as the victim, and they have no choice but to believe you because they are operating with incomplete information.
Or it's like one of those chat things.
Yes, it really is, actually. It really is like being on some message board with equally self-indulgent people. Mm-hmm. So, but I spent like 10 years and an ungodly amount of money like making sure that my therapist was never actually in a position to be able to do anything constructive for me. It was just a pointless, like a total waste of time. And I didn't actually take it seriously. And I don't go anymore. I mean, I stopped going years ago. But I actually only went in earnest when I was doing the syndicated show. Because the syndicated show was just such a huge, unmitigated, flaming, unbelievably imploding disaster. I was like the worst period of my life. And so that's when I went and I was like taking it seriously. Before that, it was just a big, huge, cluster F. And so, anyway. Well, this has been a wasted 9 minutes. We'll never get back. What was my point? Oh, and so, Sarah, yes, to answer your question, Sarah probably does talk about sex with her therapist. I don't know, but that would be my guess. And apparently her therapist is hot. So proceed with that information in whatever fashion you'd like.
Let's take another letter.
Let's see. See, now I'm getting all this Gary Sandy. Yeah. Gary Sandy was here in Portland a while back with the Horror House Tour, says Kristen in accounting. I know, I saw it. Nothing sadder than Gary Sandy and Anne Margaret. God, how old is Anne Margaret now?
Wow.
Performing in Best of the Horror House in Texas. Anne Margaret could barely walk. Oh. Anne Margaret, folds filled with dust, just on stage, well, maybe trying to be a sex kitten.
Maybe it was those artificial hips.
Jesus.
They just didn't wake up.
She's totally got the cyborg hips. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You hear this clunking sound?
I mean, wasn't she a contemporary of, like, Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau and, you know, all of whom are dead? I mean, Anne Marcy's got to be 75.
Betty Grable must have been busy.
Busy filling an urn somewhere. Rick, the subject line of this email is hee-haw. And now listen to this. The subject line of the email is hee-haw. All the email says is Gunilla Hutton.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then P.S. Roy Clark's not dead. Roy Clark isn't dead, you bastard.
I think he is.
So says this guy.
We just can't trust these random notes.
He claims that Roy Clark is not
dead.
Let's
do a dead or alive type of thing.
Let's do dead or Canadian. All right.
And after that, Battle of the Sexes. They won't play high-low.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Wait, just the second website that came up looking for Roy Clark, is he dead or alive?
Really?
Yeah, dead or alive website.
Okay, now don't tell me. Is he, let's see, Roy Clark. Because Abe Vigoda is alive. That's the thing I check on every day. Roy Clark, dead or alive. I'm going to say alive, but probably living in Branson. Sarah?
He's alive.
I don't believe it.
He is.
I have to see him somewhere in person.
You have to see him somewhere singing Yesterday When I Was Young.
Uh-huh.
See him at a 7-Eleven playing Foggy Mountain Breakdown for lunch money. Okay. Boy, we've just wasted an entire segment here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk of Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat Team Riley reporting. Our top story, Scarlett Johansson tops a lovely list of the 100 sexiest women in the world in a reader's poll for FHM magazine. One of the best things for a woman to hear is that she's sexy, the 21-year-old actress star of Match Point and Lost in Translation said in a statement. I'd like to thank what's this magazine? FHM readers.
Really, it's not even a whole word you're having to pronounce there.
I know, there are three initials.
They're just letters.
I think they're trying to throw me.
It's working.
Angelina Jolie is number two on the list, followed by Jessica Alba, Jessica Simpson, Halle Berry, Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy, what year is this?
Carmen Electra and Terry Hatcher, Johansson. Rank ninth in last year's. Jolie was number one.
Sarah just made the best face. You said Terry Hatcher, and Sarah made this face like you tried to give her rancid clams.
Oh, that woman's not looking too hot.
Terry Hatcher
dead or
has,
alive.
Terry Hatcher has all. She's again another woman that has always looked.
She's all beaky and anorexic.
She's been shaving some years off for a long time, by the way.
Yeah, and she just wears this atrocious amount of eye makeup and like lipstick, like takes it on, trying to look youthful.
It's not really working, is it?
Not working.
Yeah, so.
The magazine goes on sale April 4th.
Let me see the list again. Beaky.
Go.
Beaky's the best word. Who else is beaky? What other women are beaky?
I don't know. That was just the first thing that came to my mind.
This is a great morning style game. Morning show style game.
Beaky
yeah,
women.
We can all get up at 5 o'clock.
No, the deal is, no, this is a great game we should do at some point where I will come up with an adjective that's unflattering. Mm-hmm. Beaky, bloaty, wrinkled, crone-like.
Like word association?
Yeah, and then the audience will just associate various women with that word. All right. Okay, in fact, we'll try it now. The phone number is 503-733-2970. The word is beaky. So I will say beaky. You will tell me the woman who is associated with that word in your mind. 503-733-2970. We'll see if it works. Beaky. The word of the day is beaky. Sexiest women.
That sounds funnier the more you say it.
Beaky.
Are we high?
I think that there is some sort of a leak in the studio.
There is no oxygen in here.
So Scarlett Johansson tops a list of the, look at that. Look at the phones. One of the best things for a woman to hear is that she's sexy. The 21-year-old actress, star of Match... She, man, did anybody see Match Point?
No.
Oh, boy, you want to talk about beautiful. No, Scarlett Johansson in Match Point, which is the new Woody Allen film that came out a couple months ago, she is unbelievably gorgeous in that film. I mean, she's gorgeous, period. But, and there's a couple sex scenes, and Woody Allen movies typically don't have sex scenes. They have sex as a plot, as a story device, but he doesn't really have sex scenes typically in his films. You don't ever see it. And there's no nudity in this film, but there's a scene of Scarlett Johansson and what's his guts, the guy, the Jude Law looking guy, I forget his name, on a bed where he like literally rips her shirt open and he's like, they're making it. It's like the most intense thing. You're sitting there thinking, like, am I really seeing this in front of me? But she is gorgeous. She looks stunning in that movie. Angelina Jolie is number two. See, you know, I've made my feelings about her known. Jessica Alba, Jessica Simpson. Jessica Simpson, she's kind of a butterface. You know what I mean?
She is.
I mean,
she's gotten a little heavier too.
She's not hideous to me. And she's got a nice body, but she does have a. She's not beaky. She's sort of chinny. Her chin juts out a whole lot. Yeah, she's not ugly, but I mean, I don't think she's as hot as everybody thinks she is. Keira Knightley. Is one of those girls who's not at all my type, but yet who I'm attracted to anyway. Kind of like Jenny Garth was for years. Keira Knightley is not my type at all. Way too thin for me. But she is really stunningly beautiful. I remember seeing her in Love Actually,
mm-hmm.
And she looks like she stepped right. Was she a Victoria's Secret model? Because she looks like she should have been.
No,
she is that type. Halle Berry, Jenny McCarthy. What is she? Has Jenny McCarthy, does she even do movies
anymore? No, she has a good publicist. Keeps putting her name in things.
She's sitting around a house somewhere.
She has that movie that she had just released this year that won the Razzie for the worst movie of the year.
Oh, and it's with that guy that she divorced.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Maria Sharapova. Oh, she's the new Anna Kournikova, right?
There's some. Just because their names rhyme.
Uma Oprah. Oprah Uma. Carmen Electra. Terry Hatcher. All right. Wait, hold on. Rick Emerson Show. What woman do you think of when I say beaky?
Me, I gotta go with Blossom.
Blossom, okay. She's not really beaky. She's just got a huge nose. All right, thank
beak.
You. All right. Thank
huge
you.
Beak.
All right.
Okay. It's the hat.
All right, thank you. Yeah, her name is, what's her name, Miam Bialik?
I could never pronounce it.
Whatever.
Nobody can pronounce her name.
Doesn't matter. She's living in a basement somewhere. No. hi, Rick Emerson Show. It's 733-2970, by the way. When I say beaky, what woman do you think of?
Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton's completely beaky.
She's got duck lips and beady eyes, and you got these kind of gawky, kind of crany, storky, like, elbows and awkward knees and stuff.
Duck lips and beady eyes and crany, stork-like feet. Jesus God.
If you've ever seen her without makeup...
We'd like to see an artist rendition of that.
Yeah, seriously.
Kind of homely.
With makeup, she's homely. Paris, yeah. I've said this forever, Paris Hilton is goddamn ugly. And look, she's a billionaire, and I'm not, so it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be mean. It's not sour grapes. It's not whatever. Like I said, she doesn't give a rat's ass what I think, so it doesn't matter. She's ugly.
She is ugly. She is a bigot. She's already been caught on tape saying I racist stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Just everyone should just say this, and then she could continue to try and do a shtick and act like she's talented, but it's just known she's homely.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
All right. I remember the very first, because I'd never heard her name. I remember being at our friend Trey's house. We were doing a poker game. This is years ago. Getting ready for a poker game. Richard Nunn, who was then at the WB, was there. Richard Nunn comes in clutching a copy of Teen People, and which is not, like, you know, uncommon for that guy. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, you know, what do you got? And he's like, Teen People. And I'm like, well, what are you reading Teen People for? And he's like, two words, Paris Hilton. And I had no idea who it was. And he opens up, he's like, she's the heir to the Hilton family fortune. Look at her. And he's like salivating all over it. And you could tell there were several pages that had been marked as favorites. for frequent reference.
No.
And he shows me, and my first words were, she looks like a duck. My very first words, and everybody there was like, no, she's hot. And I, from the very beginning, I staked my claim, and Paris is goddamn ugly, bandwagon. It's true. Beaky, beady eyes, and crane-like, stork-like feet. Jesus. Hi, Rick Everson Show. When I say beaky, what woman do you think of?
Candace Bergen, specifically a turkey.
I don't know. Is she beaky?
She is, in the face to me. She has very sharp features and kind of just...
She does have sharp features. She has kind of a waddle, too.
Yeah, she's kind of gobbly under there.
She's kind of gobbly.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, thank you, sir. All right. This is a fantastic bit. This is a great bit. Make a note to myself. Okay, we'll do one more, and then we've got a break. So behind. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. When I say beaky, what woman do you think of?
Kira Sedgwick,
she also looks like a duck. You're right. She also has platypus-type features.
Yes.
You are completely right about that. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of Kira Sedgwick, the worst Cameron Crowe film that's not Vanilla Sky is playing at the Clinton Street this week. Singles is playing there. So you go check that out.
I love that movie.
It has its moments. It's not a bad film. A bad Cameron Crowe film is still better than most other films. It has a lot of things I like. There are some things about that film I don't believe work. I'm saying it's a good film by anybody else's standards. I put it towards the bottom of the Cameron Crowe list. It's got great moments, though. Most of them centered around Cliff Pontier. Basically, it's just that Kira Sedgwick is bad. And beaky. And has weird-looking spring hair. All right. It's okay, though. You don't have to see her in anything anymore. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. So goddamn behind. Coming up, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Top five songs that Rick Emerson listened to before he discovered rock and roll. What else? Well, whatever. What's the point? What's the point of guaranteeing it? We'll be back after this. Speaking of Cameron Crowe, here's Stillwater. Don't go anywhere. Here's a picture of Bernadette Peters. Not so bad. I wonder from what year this picture is and how heavily, what kind of filter they're using on the camera. No, she's got a certain something.
I think she's pretty.
No, she is. She's kind of, and I got this whole, I don't know, I got this whole weakness for Jewish girls anyway. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, dude, I have loved and lusted after Bernadette all my life. That's a strange thing for someone to say. Rick, my whole life I have lusted after Bernadette Peters. It's just odd. Sarah, please hook a fan and a brother up. I need me some therapy. You know the kind I mean. Okay, there you go.
Oh,
he
boy.
Needs deep invasive therapy. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, by the way, the blonde who was hugging the bloodhound in Hee Haw is Kathy Baker. I remember this from hour upon hour of watching this dribble with my parents, Ron and Estacada. Here's the weird thing. I think there's a possibility that I killed Buck Owens. And here's why I'm saying this. Because Buck Owens... Are you leaving the room?
I was just going to...
You're not going to pee, are you?
No,
she left something in the microwave.
All right. I remember this weekend I was actually trying to find... the hee-haw theme. I was looking for hee-haw sound because I wanted to do this whole segment on the show. Remember that thing used to do in hee-haw where they would salute some hick town that nobody'd ever heard of?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, jibbity-jibbity Alabama, mm-hmm. You know? And then they'd say, population 52. And then they'd all stand up at the cornfield and they'd say, salute. And I wanted to reprise that and use it to salute, you know, individual listeners, people in the audience. And anyways, the point is I'm looking for hee-haw sound. Couldn't find any. I cursed hee-haw under my breath. And then, like, the next hour, I found out that Buck Owens was dead. So I'm pretty sure that I actually killed him with my negative energy. I should try killing another
person. There are huge royalties to pay for using anything on that show,
yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah, probably. So I'd say I was unable to find any hee-haw sound. So there we go. Here's what's coming up. We're going to do the top five terrible songs that Rick Emerson most frequently listened to and loved before I discovered rock and roll. Next hour, we got Peter Carlin from the Oregonian coming up. We're going to talk Sopranos, we'll talk S.H.I.E.L.D., and we'll talk about that new Phil Hendry sitcom. I was going to try to get to all of this stuff in print, all these newspaper stories I was going to try to get to today. And I got a big announcement to make later on today regarding a sport fight And you know Sport Fight, which is, it's, you know, it's got Matt Valor Lindland and Randy Couture, and it's very much in the same, it's in the same style as Ultimate Fighting, that kind of a thing, but it's a Northwest thing, you know, it's the homegrown version of that. And we, had Matt Valor Lindland and Randy Couture in the studio with us for Sport Fight 8, I think it was. And when they were doing it at Mount Hood Community College, and they've actually ramped it up. This year, it's actually at the Rose Garden. This one's actually going to be at the Rose Garden. I mean, it's just going to pack thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And we're going to be doing something with that. And I can't tell you what it is quite yet. We're waiting to get all the final details and to get the official stamp and the okay and the whatever. But this show, the Rick Emerson Show, we're going to be doing something with Sport Fight. So you want to be listening for that. Details on that, and quite possibly, and I won't say anything about it other than this, quite possibly, another very big announcement this week. I can't, I'm not even going to hint at what it is because I don't want to say. I don't want to jinx it. But quite possibly another very big announcement coming up this week. So be listening for that. Also today, we've got Winterhawks tickets to give away, and we've got tickets to the Faux Film Festival, which is going to be happening at the Hollywood Theater starting Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday through Monday that it runs. So we'll be giving away tickets for that. Ugh. Where's me out just describing it? Should I take this call and then we'll do the city desk?
Sure.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What's your name?
Hey, my name's Corey.
Corey, how can I help you today?
Well, I know a beaky chick for you, Rick. Ashley Simpson.
Oh, man. She's beaktastic.
Yes, she's beaktastic and total lack of talent.
Oh, no. Nah, well, yeah. I mean, usually their talent is at least looking good, but she didn't even that going for her. I saw her on a... Have you ever done this? Have you ever seen a picture of an ugly chick on a magazine cover, and they've actually airbrushed it so heavily that for a minute you don't recognize it as her. You think it's another girl. You're like, hey, who's that hot girl? Like, was it Skechers? Who was it that Paris Hilton? She did ads for some shoe company. It was somebody. And it was Paris Hilton that ads for some shoe. Anyway, so I'm going through like Playboy or Rolling Stone or something, and I flip by and I'm like, hey, who's the gorgeous chick? And then it's Paris Hilton, but it's so heavily altered as to not even look like her, which of course is why she looked attractive, because it didn't look like her anymore. That's with Ashley Simpson. She was on the cover of, God, it wasn't Teen People, but it was some magazine, like YM or one of those, whatever, Jane, some magazine. But she was so altered that she looked hot for once, because they, like, totally, like, shaved her nose way down, and they gave her a different chin, and, like, swapped out a different head for hers. And yeah, but she's complete. You see her in a good light. She's not just beaky. She's weird-looking.
Toucan Samish.
She really is. She really is. I mean, and again, great body, like from the neck down, no problem. And a lot of times, see, most of the time it's the other way around. You know what I mean? Like when you see a cute, you know, cute girl, because cute is a facial term. I was talking about this with somebody a while back. We've talked on the show a lot how there's pretty, cute, hot, sexy, attractive, handsome. There's all kinds of different terms. Cute always refers to the face. Because, you know, you can see a fat girl who's cute. Like, we've all seen that, right? Well, she's got a cute face. When you say a girl is cute, that is not in reference to the body. Cute is always a term regarding her face. And so, my point is that usually you'll see a girl where it's like, maybe she's overweight or she's whatever, but she's cute because she's got the pretty face. Ashley Simpson is totally the opposite. Like, all of the attraction went below the neck, and then there was nothing left when they went to do the face. They were out of clay. And so she got a bunch of leftover parts for the neck up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. How could she be Jessica Simpson's sister?
I don't know. I don't know. She really does make Jessica. If I was Jessica, I'd be walking around with Ashley next to me all the time, just to draw attention away from my own faults. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right.
Yes, I hear you.
Thank you. Well, sir.
Hey, I'm happy you're back on the air. I love listening to you.
Thank you. You're spreading the word.
Of course.
All right.
All the people that I know.
God bless. Will you call us anytime?
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. There you go. It's like if you're fat, you hang out with fatter people. You know, or if you're untalented, like I hang out with Lars. Here's Tim at the City Desk. That was cheap. That was beneath me. I was just trying to squeeze that in. There was no point to it.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Or maybe this should be the City Desk Newsbeak.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. It was just begging to be said.
Okay.
The Flophouse bathtub James Earl Ray stood in to shoot Martin Luther King Jr. is for sale on eBay for the third time. The auction, scheduled to run 10 days, reopened today with an opening bid of $7,500. But a portion of the sale will go to the Boys and Girls Club of Memphis. The tub first went on sale in July 2004 and drew a bid of $152,000. But eBay removed it over concerns Well, it might be considered offensive to the King family.
I'm sorry, I was distracted by a thing. What are they selling?
James Earl Ray's bathtub, the one he stood in to shoot Martin Luther King Jr.
He stood in a bathtub?
Yep. A flophouse bathtub.
Oh, it must have been one of the clawfoot kinds that made you taller.
It could be. You'll have to check it out yourself. But anyway, the money will go to a worthy cause, the Boys and Girls Club.
All right.
Also being auctioned off of these Guy Fox masks, guess how? They go for like $51 to $61.
Yeah,
there's several of them.
Yeah, you'll be able to buy them at that Hollywood Halloween place for like $12 this.
So get it about, there you go.
Seriously, but you know, I'm telling you now, though, you all should be placing your order now.
It says Premier Rare. They all say they're rare.
Yeah, wait until the Chinese get a hold of it and start cranking them up by the billions. No, seriously, you guys should be buying that mask now, because if you wait till the week of Halloween, it's going to be four times the cost, and you'll be on a waiting list. You guys should be going to that Hawthorne costume place right now and buying them. Before I buy everything.
U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia startled reporters in Boston just minutes after attending a mass by flipping his middle finger to his critics. The 70-year-old conservative Roman Catholic faced questioning about his impartiality when it came to issues separating church and state. You know what I say to these people, Scalia replied? He made an obscene gesture.
The great thing about Scalia is he just doesn't care.
Don't publish that,
that always works. No, he just doesn't care what anybody thinks. And I think he's slowly going crazy. I think he's going crazy, or it's just now occurred to him that he can't be removed. And so he's let slip any sort of veneer of impartiality that he once had.
Emergency workers took seven children to the hospital after they were thrown off an inflatable slide as it was toppled by hurricane-force winds. One adult was also injured in the incident in the Central Georgia school. Central Fellowship Christian Academy said some kindergarten children were on the slide when a wind gust blew it over. The funnel cloud threw the children into the air. They landed on the ground while the wind blew the slide hundreds of feet across the field.
Good times.
The owner of the inflatable equipment said in a near 10 years in business, this is the first time that children have been thrown into the air in a tornado. Time for the Gore Watch.
Here's your Gore Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto, domo. Domo.
I feel bad for using this song. We should find something else.
Mr. Roboto.
Hey, as a side note to all you S.H.I.E.L.D. fans out there,
yes.
You know, I couldn't put my finger on who Gore reminded me of. And I've figured it out. Gore, and I think it is this way, not the other way around. It is that Gore, whenever I see him on the news now or on the TV or whatever, Al Gore reminds me of Detective Dutch Wagenbach from The S.H.I.E.L.D. And you all who watch The S.H.I.E.L.D., and I think that's Jay Carnes who plays him, you all who watch The S.H.I.E.L.D. know what I'm talking about. I believe that Dutch Wagenbach and Al Gore are the same person. Oh, and if there's ever a TV movie about the life of Al Gore, which seems exceedingly unlikely, Dutch Wagenbach should be the one to play him.
Well, Al Gore said today he's not planning to run for president in 2008, but hasn't ruled out politics in the future.
Thank God.
I'm enjoying what I'm doing, Gore told an audience at
Middle
Tennessee State University. Apparently, he's in the middle of some speaking tour where he gave a lecture on global warming.
Imagine going to your college and learning that the speaker for that day is Al Gore. Jesus, stay home and get high.
I'm not planning to be a candidate again. I haven't reached a stage in my life where I'm willing to say I will never consider doing something like this.
What would he possibly run for? What could he possibly win at this? But just
he could become the chancellor of Middle Tennessee State University.
Well, that is a prestigious gig. His chance was in 2004. If he was going to run on the bitterness vote, which is the only way he can win anything now, is by remember me, I really won. That he would. Somebody hear a noise?
Was that your microphone again?
I heard a squeak.
No. Well, it was something. Anyway, okay. If he was going to. Such a poorly produced radio program.
Thank you.
No, not you. I'm saying in general. I'm saying the overall.
Let's remove that from the resume.
I'm saying the overall vibe
You're fiddling around with your microphone, and I'm the bad production.
I'm not saying it's the producer's fault. I'm saying the end product sometimes leaves a little bit to be desired, but that's no one's fault. Moving on. I'm just saying if Gore was going to win on the bitterness vote, 2004 was the time to do it. Now he's just that guy who lost.
Well, he turns 58 next week and has occasionally delivered speeches on global warming, which nobody cares about. He also co-founded a television network called Current TV, which you have to pay for extra for, which nobody would do anyway.
I didn't even think, is that network even on anywhere?
Yeah, it's on Comcast, but you got to pay extra for it.
Imagine paying to watch a network run by Al Gore.
I know, who would?
Yeah.
Not even Al Gore would pay.
All right.
That's the Gore Watch.
There's your Gore Watch.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. Domo. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Rick, this email says, Kathy Rigby is playing Peter Pan in Peter Pan in May. What? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Playing the role of Peter Pan in the... What, is this a musical or something? Peter Pan in
May? I think it usually is, isn't it?
Who's Kathy Rigby? Wait, is she the exercise...
Oh, I thought she was a tennis player.
Right, but is she the one who does all those exercise videos, like Getting Fit with Kathy Rigby? That's her.
No.
It will be horrible. As a therapist, this email continues, I'll let you know that not only do we not believe your crap, but we usually feel sorry for the people who have to live with you and listen to you for free. Not you, of course, Rick, as everyone but Steve in Vancouver loves you. We know you're blaming them. We know you're lying. Remember, Rick, the only consistent feature in all your dysfunctional relationships is you. All right, so take that to
heart.
Well,
she sent that along for free.
Yeah, that's a little free advice there. Oh, and then she signs it, Jodie Foster has a clefted butt nose.
I wonder if she tells that to all her patients.
She listens, and then she weighs in on the faults of female celebrities. No, I didn't care if my therapist believed me or not, but it's like, or I don't want to dwell on this again, but I'm just saying, like a lot of guys, and I think women are different about this, because I think women actually want to, like, share feelings. I think women are much more into, like, actually wanting to talk about what's going on and what they're feeling and what their emotions are, and guys don't ever want to do that. Guys just want to, like, try to impress women and look like tough guys. And so, for the longest time, whenever I would go into therapy, it was just because some woman had, like, had forced me to do it. Like, I went into therapy several times just because girls had guilt-tripped me into doing it. And they were right, in retrospect, but I was just too young and dumb to realize that. And so I would just go and just use it to amuse myself. And so my whole thing was trying to see if I could seduce the therapist. And it never worked. Not that I wasn't charming, because I was. Not that I wasn't amusing, because as you know, I am. It just never worked, because that whole, they're the therapist, I'm the patient thing. But so, yeah, it was just like a way for me to hone my improv skills. So, yeah. Do we have one break here or two?
Well, we could always come up with one, I'm sure.
We can merge them together.
Really? So,
sure.
So here's what we've got to do. Let's see. It is... We've got an hour and 15 minutes. Really? Are we that far through the show already?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
We got one.
Okay, we've got one. So, we got an hour and 15 minutes. We got to do Peter Carlin at 2:30. We got the top five. I got all this direct to get to. We got to give away tickets. So, should we break here and come back? You want to do the top five and then break?
Yeah, let's do that.
And then we'll break at when? 55?
Yeah, that sounds good. Who's in favor of that?
You're just weighing in. You have no idea. You're just shouting out answers. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's roll today's top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count.
Don't you? Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk with today's top five.
We all have humble beginnings, some more humble than others. And so it is with our taste in music. From the dregs of mediocrity, we rise to find our true direction and style. But for many years, we wander, lost in a desert of the lowest common denominator tripe. For example, take Rick Emerson, whose conversion at the hands of rock and roll came not a second too soon to rescue him from a life of shame and top 40 radio. These are the top five songs Rick Emerson listened to before he discovered rock and roll.
The top five songs you would find me listening to, loving, enjoying, spreading the word about before I discovered the almighty fist of rock.
But honorable mention is Weird Al Yankovic with My Bologna.
Now, I have to say honorable mention, because there's nothing wrong with Weird Al Yankovic. It's just not really the sort of thing that one rocked out to once one discovered Led Zeppelin. It's not really the sort of thing that you talk to chicks about in the hallway at school. You check out that new Weird Al. It rocks. You know, it's like...
Spread it on the mustard now.
I do love Weird Al Yankovic, and I never stopped loving Weird Al Yankovic. I'm a big fan of his to this day. We've had him on the show at least once. I think we've had him on twice. To this day, Weird Al Yankovic put on one of the best concerts I've ever seen. I saw him in, like, the like the Horticultural Center or something in Salt Lake. He put on a fantastic show, multiple costume changes, onstage dancers. He did the whole fat suit thing for the song Fat. I'm unashamed of my love of Weird Al, but I will tell you, and you know this to be true if you were a misfit teen, and I know you were. Misfit teenagers always, they always start to orbit around one of a few things. Monty Python, Britcoms, Weird Al, Dr. Demento, role-playing games, Star Trek, Robotech. That's it. And, and you either leave those things or you don't. And I did not leave Weird Al Yankovic. He did take a backseat to some other musical interest, but there you go.
At number five, the Ohio Express with Chewy Chewy.
This is entirely wrong.
That sounds like Dear God.
No, that's wrong.
That's wrong.
We try O2?
Yeah, that's O2.
Really?
Yeah, here, let's give this a shot.
Find that.
Let's crank up the open.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about. You must have to read to load them twice. They must not be refreshing. All right, so this is number five because, again, I'm a huge bubblegum music fan and always have been. Listen to this. I got this. My dad had this vinyl collection that had a lot of old bubblegum records. It had the 1910 Fruit Gum Company, the Lemon Pipers, all of that stuff. And again, this is number five. Before I discovered rock and roll, this was as rockin' as it got, folks. This was as loud and badass as I got before I discovered AC/DC. Motley Crue, whatever have you. And I still have a huge bubblegum collection. But I did phase this out for a few years. Tim, you probably listen to a lot of Ohio Express.
Yep, I sure did. Yep.
They do this great little garage drum fill. That's fantastic. So I was a huge bubblegum fan as a kid because these songs are really made for kids.
And number four, it's Sylvia with Nobody.
I actually had to pull this up the vinyl at my house, by the way. If you listen, you can hear the crackling.
The vinyl scratches.
I have the 33 here. Now, believe it or not, this was actually considered a country song. This was played on country radio in the 80s. This really makes Shania Twain sound like Johnny Cash. We play a punk version of this. We play the Chicks Dig It version of this. The idea that this ever passed for country music is more than a little amusing. Now, my wife and I, we bonded early on over the fact that we both love this song. This was the first 45 my wife ever bought. Nobody. Oh, it's nobody. Wait for it. You're
nobody called. The wall of sound.
The album cover is fantastic. She's got like 900 coats of lip gloss and like the real soft focus camera work. Can you picture me as like a 12-year-old in a dust-filled desert town listening to this song on the radio? Singing along in my squeaky, high-pitched preteen voice. Even better. Listen to that synth line in the background. This song is great, though, in that it's like a completely pre-liberation song, too, in that the whole point of the song, of course, her husband is doing the woman at work, right? And, you know, who the husband completely called, you know, who are you working with? Nobody. You know, who are you having dinner with? Nobody. And then the hook is, of course, you're nobody called today. She hung up when I asked her name, blah, blah, blah. Right here. You're still mine and I won't stand in line. Right here, where she figures the only way to keep her husband is to, like, bonk his brains out in bed. So that line about, you're getting ready for bed, I said to myself, I've got one shot left. And it's totally if I'm a good enough sex bot, my husband won't dump me for the girl at work. Terrible song.
The Chipmunks should have done this.
I think they did, actually.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
And number three, it's Billy Ocean. When the going gets tough.
Yeah. I have this cassette, the Jewel of the Nile soundtrack. I paid like $7 through the RCA tape club. Is Billy Ocean dead?
I don't know. Maybe he's in Branson.
I have no idea. Billy Ocean could have been dead 10 years ago, but no. Get out of my dreams and into my hearse. I have no... sing. I have no
idea. Oh, we all missed that one.
I have no idea. This is the worst song. And I remember this video's got the three, and this video's got Michael Douglas, Kathleen Turner, and Danny DeVito in matching white suits. It was like a really terrible knockoff of the You Can Call Me Al video. This is how Sarah's roommate talks. Can I touch you, lover? I want to hold you. I remember playing this on my Sears Roebuck boombox. The worst song. We're counting down the top five songs that were my favorites before I discovered rock and roll. Tim Riley?
At number two, Starship. We built this city.
Yeah. We built this city. This was the first cassette I ever bought with my own money. I went to the...
This song is awesome. We built this
city on rock. It is a catchy song.
And they built the city on rock and roll, right?
Sounds like they're playing instruments made out of rubber bands.
I think they play this at our, Catholic youth organization thing.
Well, of course, and it's like, but again, it's like when you're a kid, you think this is rock and roll, right? You think this is, you're rocking out with this. I remember I took my gift certificate. I had a Woolworths gift certificate. $10. I went to the Woolworths in Kennewick. I laid down my Woolworths gift certificate and I said, I'll take the Starship cassette, please. And they gave me this. The guitarist from this band, by the way, went on to become a jazz guitarist. And his CD is one of those CDs that they were getting rid of from the Smooth Jazz Station down the hall. I've got right here. I remember pumping my little 10-year-old fist in the air to this. Oh, all right. I can't take anymore.
At number one, it's Lover Boy, loving every minute of it.
And again, the very worst part is I thought I was being a badass with this music, with this Lover Boy song. Wait for it. Wait for the bad white man's rap. I'm not a man. You may notice a passing reference. You know, there's a similarity to two other songs here. This not only sounds like Pour Some Sugar on Me, it sounds like Pour Some Sugar on Me, and it sounds like Any Man of Mine by Shania Twain. You know why? Same songwriter. Ready. Emma. Fire. This guy's written this same song four different times now. And in the front, they've all got the big white man's afros and, like, the tight white pants. I think you get an all right here. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was a come on.
Come on.
They're rare.
I think every song should have that come on halfway through. And a guitar. All right. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. All right, wait. You want some? It's really just one step above Moon June, too, with this guy. All right. All right, we have to break. We're going to break. We'll come back with the City Desk. Peter Carlin coming up from the Oregonian. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. You stay right there.